want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 204 of the Geocaching Podcast, recorded live on May 18th, 2011. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Daryl W4 and
Ed Hard Hat.
If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our Talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now button to participate. We have a voicemail line, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. And we love to hear from our listeners anytime. We have a Twitter account, and that's twitter.com/GCPodcast. This episode is sponsored by Cache Advance. See cache-advance.com for all of your caching needs. Welcome back, guys. It's an early show this time. We're actually recording early. Normally, we do this show at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, it's 7:30, and there's a special reason for that. We've got a special guest all the way from Germany. But first, Head Hard Hat, how have you been?
Oh, I'll tell you what, guys. I've been having a great time, not necessarily because of the geocaching in general, but I've got a new toy. In my hot little hands. Right in my hot little hands, I have an iPad 2. Now, this is the 32 gig and the 3G model. A little more on the expensive side than I thought I really was going to go. But I'll tell you what, for my first Mac-type product, I'm having a lot of fun with this. It's really kind of neat.
Well, and for those of us into geocaching, you really want to go for some kind of connected version of that iPad, because that's the way that you get that internal GPS.
Yeah, it's really neat. I got to play with it a little bit. I'm going to do some accuracy testing with it. The one disappointment I have to say, and I'm really hoping some of these geocaching companies stepped up to the plate with it, there really isn't a satisfying app for the iPads yet when it comes to geocaching. There's a couple of them where you can play with GPX files, but nothing really of the quality you have with, say, the iPhone or the Androids.
Yeah, well, the iPad is just such a big device that it really isn't that friendly to take out into the field. You know, we've done it a few times, again, mostly just to play with it. But what I really enjoy doing is using Geosphere, geocaching with Geosphere, because it uses the map API from Google. So when you go in, you get the full, nice, high-res maps and everything, even though it is just the scaled iPhone version. And in the car, that is just awesome to sit there and look at all those caches and be able to click into it and get all the info. So that's where we really found that useful. Not so much in the field, but in the car, getting to and from, because it's a lot nicer and easier than using your laptop to get that big screen. And certainly, nicer, when you don't have to worry about the size so much in the car.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You don't want to take something that's costing the amount of money that you put into something like that, and it's like anything else. You don't, you're out in areas where you're going to drop things. There's moisture, there's dirt. That kind of equipment, it's really great to have in your car, but I don't think I'd be walking around in the woods with it.
No, yeah, definitely not.
There are some good options to help protect the original iPads. This iPad 2, you're just starting to see some of those come out now. But I'd say when we added the Otter case to ours, it probably added at least 50% more weight and just really makes it a lot less manageable. Well, unfortunately, I haven't gotten out to do any caching, really. It's been kind of one of those months so far where work is just taking up every ounce of my time and, draining me completely. And the weather has just not been favorable. I'm looking outside right now going, I'm glad I'm inside, despite wanting to go outside and, ride and cache and whatnot. But Andy, I know that you also got a new toy through work.
I did. I received an iPhone, and it's an iPhone 4. And so, I've been caching and done a lot of the stuff like you were talking about with Geosphere, doing my notes and things with my iPod Touch. But it's I really, really like this iPhone. It's just one of those things that, man, it's so versatile and it's got a GPS on it and I really like it.
Well, and having that GPS for things like Geosphere just really step up the game because it's a totally different thing to be able to just go and there's all your near caches. You don't have to go looking up, you know, which is a cache that I was, oh yeah, it's this one.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So, you know, I'm still going to use my GPS and everything like that, my handheld one, but, you know, especially spur of the moment things, I'm definitely going to be using the iPad or the iPhone, definitely.
Yeah.
And I think what you're going to find in something like that too, Andy, is at least I did when I started working with the Androids and even the BlackBerry. I think what happens is if the weather's okay out, you're going to find yourself using that more than you are your actual GPS.
Oh, I'm sure, especially since, you know, it's always handy. It's always there. It's great.
Well, and you've got such a great interface and that instant connectivity where it's just a post. Okay, yeah, my field notes are posted. That you really kind of fight to have to use your GPS again sometimes because it's like, do I go for the convenience or do I go for the, you know, bigger antenna? Yeah, and that's basically what I come down to most of the time.
Yes, definitely. Well, we've got a really packed show tonight. Again, we've got Guido on talking about the European Coin Fest. But first, geocaching question of the day.
Geocaching question of the day. The Bad Cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is The Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. Have you ever found a geocache in a cave? 54% of the spelunking geocachers that replied said yes, they had found a geocache in a cave. What about you? Have you found a geocache in a cave? You want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, The Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Now it's time once again for the GSAC Garage. Short tips for GSAC users.
I'm BBPad, and welcome to the first GSAC Garage. We're going to start off easy. What do you do with your GSAC? Well, let's load up the Pocket Query directly from your geocaching account. It's going to be a zip file. Don't worry, GSAC can open these directly. No need to extract it. First, let's start off by making a database. Name your database. Something that makes sense to you. Specifically, what was the Pocket Query? From there, go to Open, open the zip file, and pick the database that you created. After you hit Open and OK, it will load all of the caches included in that Pocket Query. Everything from the attributes all the way through to the last five logs of that geocache. Now that you have all of these in said database, well, that's easy. Then you can start sorting them. You'll notice along the top that you have locations. You can enter your own home location into the Tools Options Locations menu. From there, you can then sort all of said caches from your home location. You can right-click on any cache to change it to its center point, change that cache to a center point, and then away you go. Say you've got a couple of puzzles in that Pocket Query that you want to solve. Well, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to adjust the coordinates of a specific cache. After you've solved the puzzle and or verified the coordinates that you solved it on some external website, then you're going to right-click on an individual cache, hit corrected coordinates, enter in the new coordinates, and hit OK. You'll notice that on the Google Maps screen at the cache description that you'll have both a archive symbol and the cache symbol. The archive symbol was the original coordinates and the cache symbol is the corrected coordinates. Well, this is just about does it for our first segment. Don't worry, there's more to come as GSAC is a huge program. If you have any questions that you would like to answer or included in the next segment, just give me an email at gsac@geocachingpodcast.com. Thank you and good night.
The news.
Garmin announced a new line of Montana handheld GPSRs today. This new series features a 4-inch touchscreen, barometric altimeter, 3-axis compass, microSD card slot, and paperless geocaching. It uses either a rechargeable lithium-ion battery pack or 3 AA batteries for up to 22 hours in the field. All models will support spoken turn-by-turn directions through the purchase of a power mount and City Navigator package. The 650 models include a 5-megapixel autofocus camera. While the specs on these units, including the price, were not available as of the recording, look for more information on the 600, the 650, and the 650T in the near future.
Also released was the much-anticipated upgrade to GeoSpeak's geocaching app for Android. We'll have a link to the blog post on the updates in version 2, but the highlights include advanced search, interface updates, multi-user support, new cache icons, and cache geocache updating. Geocaching version 2 is available now in the Android market for $9.95 US. And a funny thing about this is, guys, literally about an hour before the show, I downloaded this onto my Android, and I'll tell you what, I'm impressed with it. The quality of the app itself has improved so much. Apparently, they took care of the battery issue, and I can't wait to get it out and put it in the paces.
Very cool. Can't wait to hear what you have to review about that. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Guido. Guido is one of the organizers of the European GeoCoin Fest. If you guys remember back on episode 200, we had the US version of this. However, this year, this is the first time there's going to be a European version. And so welcome to the podcast tonight.
Okay, do you hear me?
Yes, I can.
There we go. Hey, Guido.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for being on the line and in your show. I followed quite a few episodes, and I'm happy to be today on the show.
Well, thanks for joining us. This year is the first year for the European Coin Fest, and that dates August 28th, 2011, in Cologne, Germany. The main event happens on Sunday the 28th, but there are things planned all weekend. So can you tell us a little bit about the events happening on Friday?
Yeah, the Friday event is the early meeting event where usually the folks come into town. Some are coming on Thursdays, and we wanted to have an early meeting event, and this is in Cologne area, where we have a nice spot, lakeside, a little town lake, where we might have a barbecue, a little music, where we just, as the kids say, chilling around, talking to each other, getting dates for the next day, caching, for example, if cachers don't want to make tours, which we offered, they can meet local cachers and speak up for some nice caching tours for the next day.
Well, and I understand there is also an event planned for that Saturday.
Yes. We have the Friday event, is the early meeting event, as I said, and the Saturday event is the in the evening. We have a nice location, which is perfect for some music shows. We will have a band playing. We will have a film fest, geocaching film fest, which we organize right now. We have put a new menu point on the website where all the cachers can send us films in concerning geocaching films, related geocaching, and they shall be not longer than 10 minutes, and all the people at the event will vote for the best film, and the best filmmaker will get a very, very nice prize. And during the day on Saturday, all the cachers can decide whether they want to take the bus tour, which will last the whole day probably, and we will offer 10 icon day, walking through the town, making 10 icons, and finishing with the event icon then on Saturday evening. But there are other tours like the cathedral sightseeing, museum sightseeing, boat trip. So there's a lot of things to do downtown.
Well, it sounds like a great way for non-native folks to get a good tour of the town as well. Now, Head Hard Hat, I wonder if you can get a video into that show.
Oh, that would be awesome to go over GeoCoins with this, especially with the international flavor. I was actually looking at the webpage for the actual main event, Guido, and I was really impressed just not only for the fact that when you first start reading it, everything's in German, but you were kind enough to translate facts and information about it in several different languages, including English. Thank you very much. One of the things that I saw in there that was really kind of cool is you say that this is going to be the largest GeoCoin event in the world. Can you kind of explain that a little bit?
Well, yes, it's the last 4 years have been only U.S. events, and late last year I made the decision to try to get it to Europe because here in Europe the Kesha community and the GeoCoin community is very large, and it was I was thinking that this might be the opportunity for those folks to meet up with designers and shop owners from all over, and also from the US to meet here in Europe, not to take the long way trip over the Atlantic, and well, that was the reason to put the GeoCoin Fest here in Kelowna.
Very cool. Now, you mentioned that's going to be the largest GeoCoin Fest here. Now, Sunday is your main event. That's the actual coin event. Obviously, we're going to see coins there, but what all is going to happen for those of us who have never been to a coin fest, or, you know, is there something different for those of us who have been to Coin Fest before? What can we expect from this event?
Yeah, the Sunday event is the main event, and the GeoCoin Fest, well, it's not a regular caching event as we have it every 2 weekends here around. It's the GeoCoin who is in the center. And the GeoCoin Fest, of course, it's the second biggest event this year, probably after GeoWoodstock. We have now, for Sunday, we have nearly 1,400 villagers, and the people are coming over 2,000 for Sunday. For Saturday, we are right now over 450 people, and over 700 people for Saturday, and we are for Friday for the early meeting event over 400 people right now. So on Sunday we have a big huge place where all the shops, GeoCoin shops from Europe, GeoCoin shops from US are attending, Switzerland, every country here in Europe almost as we're presenting. But we also have climbing stores. There's Magellan, the GPS device store. Garmin will be there. It's supposed to be a very, very good event with some activities around there where kids can play. And if cashers are like to climb, they get climbing lessons. So, yeah, I hope the weather is good too. So it should be perfect.
is Cologne ready for having 1,500 people show up in one spot like that?
Pardon me?
Is Cologne, the city of Cologne, ready to have that many people suddenly materialize that weekend?
Oh yes, for sure.
Well, perhaps the bigger question is: is a city prepared for that many geocachers?
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yes. It should be fun to watch all the people wearing our event shirts, going all together through town, and getting all the eyes from our muggles, wondering what those people are doing.
Now, you mentioned a event shirt, but being a GeoCoin event, I'm sure that there's an event coin. Is that true? Is there an event coin?
Yes, Yes, we do have for each event, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, for each event, we do have a special event version. And, we have just posted a little hint, a little picture where a special version is shown, like glow in the dark. But the main thing is probably, if you look on our website, we do have some two logos which are not referring to our kind of view of the geo coin, of the event coin, because we put out a slogan like find friends, or in German, finde Freunde, because we think find friends in our spirit of geocaching community. We should post this more in front, and that is the main thing, what is turning around the coin. So we did, at the beginning of this year, we did a coin contest where I wrote to all designers and shops to send us their proposals in, and out of those proposals, we choose this coin design which represented our spirit of thinking under Find Friends, and that is the coin which is coming out as the event coin. And if you imagine what the community is just around everything. So the coin should be here at the GeoCoin Fest in the center, and the community which we are all are around it. So. I think this coin will be liked by many, many, many of us.
All right. Well, we do have a caller here from Central Iowa, so let me go ahead and get that person on the line here. Welcome to the call from Central Iowa.
I had a question about geocoins in general.
Okay.
So I've seen them mentioned before. I mean, I'm not the biggest geocacher out there, but I've seen them mentioned. Well, what is the purpose behind them? Can you track them on a website or something?
They're kind of just like a collectible item. They do have a tracking number. Most of them do have a tracking number that you can kind of track on the geocaching.com website. Some people place them in geocaches. Some people just collect them. I'd say probably, Daryl, would you say most people collect them?
Okay. Thanks.
Yep, no problem. Now,
one of the things, Andy, you might want to add with that, just so that the people that are new to geocaching can pick up, keep in mind when you find a geocoin in a geocache, that those are travelers. Those are game pieces that go from one geocache to the next, and they're owned by somebody else. They're not swag. So just keep in mind, you do register them on geocaching.com. You can actually take a look and see the path that they went. You can look at a really cool map to show to see exactly where they travel, but they're not, unless they're unregistered and usually put in as a gift, somebody else owns those, just like they do travel bugs.
That is true. Now, back to the GeoCoin Fest event, I did ask that question about the coin, knowing that there was a coin, and I have seen the picture, that very small picture that he mentioned, and it does look like a really cool coin.
I think that's one of the cool things about geocoins in general. I've amassed a pretty good collection myself, and when you talk about geocoins that come from other countries, those are even more special because they are from different places around the world.
If people are traveling to Cologne, say, you know, from the United States or other countries, or even other areas of what can travelers expect? What kind of lodging is available for them around the area?
Well, we do have a lot of different lodgings, of course. We have different size of hotels. We even have youth hostels to stay. So that was also a reason why we put the hotel reservation service link on our website, so everybody can choose whatever he likes, which size he wanna stay in our hotel, and we have put our event location in there. So the people just don't have to look long time before, well, which site do I have to stay, where's the event location. So this system just shows the nearest hotels to our event locations, and as you follow the sites, the far away you go. So it's just it depends on which name you want to stay, which pocket you have. So for everybody is there the possibility to look around. And concerning our city itself, we do have the famous cathedral here, where we also have those tours, which can not actually be booked because the interest for those tours, let's say a tour on the top of the cathedral, it's a beautiful guided tour. The interest is so high, so we are planning to open the menu point in the next days, and everybody can write a comment there. I would take part, and we have how you call this? It's not a lottery. We draw then the people together, because we only have per guided tour there can only be 17 people, and we have for Friday and Saturday on total we have 4 tours available. So we draw the people then fairly draw the people to get on those tours, and we ask our local cashers not to step in, because our local cashers have, let's say, every 2 months the possibility to get those tours. So these tours are only first for our guests to get this to see.
Sounds like a really, really cool event. Again, that's August 28th, 2011 in Cologne, Germany. Can you give us your website again?
The website is www.geocoinfest.de.
All right. Now, a lot of people are going to obviously be traveling with their family who might not be into caching. And I've heard so many great things about Cologne. Are there any real highlights that you might suggest to those folks while, you know, the cachers are going caching and, you know, checking out the events?
Yes, there is for the kids and the adults, of course, our zoo, what we have. We have our River Rhine, which offers nice boat tours, scenic tours. We do have, of course, for the ladies, huge shopping miles around inside downtown Cologne. And, of course, for those who like the breweries, we do have several breweries tours which can be looked at. We have museums. We have, in August, the soccer stadium should be going on. So there are many things to do, really many things to do.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show tonight. It sounds like a very cool thing. I really, really wish I could make it over there, because it just sounds like a really cool event.
Just book your flight.
Well, we want to thank you guys for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. We want to thank CacheAdvance.com, Cache-Advance.com for sponsoring this episode. Join us each Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. Our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. You can call our voicemail line, and that's 206-350-3GPS. Anytime to leave us a voicemail. Have a safe week and happy caching.